are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, we're talking about mindfulness and meditation from a Christian perspective. Today, we're focusing on finding understanding. Pastor Oscar Lumanisha will be joining us in a moment to speak to us about this. In a world that is constantly moving, mindfulness and meditation have become popular practices for finding peace. But how exactly do these concepts align with Christian beliefs? Right? While the world's version often centers on self-focus, Christian mindfulness invites us to focus on presence and His Word. So we're going to explore how Christians can practice mindfulness and meditation to deepen their relationship with God. Pastor Lumanisha, good morning and welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Thank you so much. And how are you?
I'm doing well, Pastor. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing very fine.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, let's get straight into the conversation, Pastor. How exactly does Christian mindfulness differ from secular mindfulness?
Okay, thank you so much. Christian mindfulness differs from secular mindfulness in a spiritual foundation.
Mm-hmm.
This is where Christian mindfulness is rooted in Christian theology and scripture, emphasizing the importance of a personal relationship with God.
Mm.
And the.
Hello, Pastor. All right, some network challenges there. Pastor Lumanisha, can you hear me? All right, let's see if we can sort that out. We're having a network issue. Like I said, this weather that I pray for. It's not free. It challenges us sometimes. Pastor, do we have you back?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, I just received a call from somebody.
Oh, all right. No problem. All right. So please
get what I'll say.
You were talking about the spiritual basis of Christian mindfulness.
Yes, I'll say the spiritual basis of Christian mindfulness,
yes,
is based on spiritual foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And in Christian mindfulness, it is rooted in Christian theology and scripture, where we emphasize the importance of a personal relationship with God and the pursuit of spiritual growth. While the secular mindfulness is often based on Buddhist or other Eastern spiritual traditions, but it is typically practiced in the non-religious secular context.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, spiritual mindset, mindfulness, or Christian mindfulness, it aims to deepen one's faith. It cultivates a sense of dependency on God,
mm-hmm,
and grow in a Christ-like character. That's Christian mindfulness.
Yeah.
While the secular mindfulness, sometimes it shares similar goals,
mm-hmm,
by improving the mental health and increasing overall well-being.
Mm-hmm.
The other point that we can add to that is the Christian mindfulness is focused on scripture and prayer. This is where we incorporate scripture, meditation, prayer, and reflect on God's character and promises.
Mm.
While the secular mindfulness, by contrast, it tends to focus on more general non-religious themes, such as body awareness, emotional regulation, and mindfulness in daily activities.
Mm.
On the other hand, Christian mindfulness, it's based on community and accountability. This involves the participation in a faith community.
Mm.
So in short, what I'm saying is, in Christian mindfulness, we consider the faith of the community, where individuals can share their experiences, receive support, and be held accountable in the spiritual growth. While in the secular mindfulness, it may involve participation in the mindfulness or the growth or the class, but the sense of community and accountability is not much emphasized.
Mm-hmm.
The other point that we can talk about, the first question, is that the Christian mindfulness It aims at glorifying God and enjoy a deeper relationship with Him, whilst the secular mindfulness is only often more focused on individual well-being, happiness, and self-actualization.
Mm-hmm.
So I differentiate Christian mindfulness from the secular mindfulness is that in secular, you only concentrate on yourself, the happiness, how you can make yourself happy, self-actualization is what to say. But in Christian mindfulness, we don't only consider the happiness of you as an individual alone, but the happiness of others also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
So,
all right.
Thank you. And then
what biblical examples would you cite or teachings that encourage mindfulness and meditation?
Thank you. There are so many citations we can give from the scripture,
mm-hmm.
both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So allow me at this moment to begin with the Old Testament passages.
Sure. Sure.
So like when you read the book of Psalms, chapter 1, verse 2 to 3, where the Bible says, blessed is a man who doesn't walk in the ways of the evil man, mm-hmm. but he meditates daily on the law of God,
mm.
day and night.
Amen.
Okay, so here, we are taught meditating on God's law day and night, leading to a blessed and prosperous life. Mm. So the book of Psalms chapter 1, verse 2 to 3 tells us that by meditating on God's law,
mm-hmm.
day and night, someone may end up having a blessed and a prosperous life.
Mm.
On the same way, on another hand, we have also the book of Psalms 119. When you read verse 15, you read verse 23, 48 and 78. You end with verse 148. This is where you find the repeated reference to meditating on God's statutes, laws, and decrees, which lead to the uprightness of a human being. You have also the book of Joshua, chapter 1, where meditating on God's law leads to success and prosperity.
Mm.
You remember when Moses was handing over the office of being a prophet, because God told him in Deuteronomy, okay, that he, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, that he is not going to cross over after
yeah.
being shown the land of Canaan.
Yeah.
So he was told to hand over. And the greatest caution that Moses left to Joshua as he led the children of Israel was to do what? To meditate. He said, this law should not depart on you. Meaning you should repeat meditating on this law and the statute and the decrees. It's what is going to make you have success and prosperity in leading the children of God. And not only for that, but also for your spiritual growth.
Hmm.
We have also the book of Psalms, chapter 46, verse 10, where the Bible says, be still. Okay, here you are taught to know God, implying a mindfulness and meditation state. So these are some of the Old Testament passages that emphasizes on Christian mindfulness and how someone can use the scripture. When we come to the New Testament, we are introduced to the book of Matthew chapter 14, verse 13 and 23, where we are told that Jesus at some point withdrew from his work and went to a solitary place to pray and meditate. Even the Savior, you can see, he used he portioned a certain period of time where he can use a place where he can go and have meditation. So then we have the book of Mark 1, verse 35, where we are told that Jesus, rising early in the morning,
mm.
went to pray and meditate. The book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 12, tells us the same, that Jesus spent the whole night in prayer to God before choosing the 12 disciples or apostles.
Yeah.
When you read the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing, implying a mindful and a continuous awareness of God's presence. This doesn't mean that you need, wherever you go, whether you are in the market, you need to kneel and pray. But what Paul is writing to the Thessalonians or to us today is that we should imply in our minds to have the presence of God wherever we are. We may not be kneeling, but our thoughts must be focused on the heavenly thing. Mm. And this brings me to the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, we are taught to focus on things that are true,
mm-hmm.
that are noble, that are light, that are pure, that are lovely, that are admirable. By so doing, we are promoting mindfulness and mental discipline. Mm. This is why Ecclesiastes, we will only focus on those things that are godly related.
Amen.
Meaning you are trying to move your focus from the earthly things and only focusing on the heavenly thing.
Mm.
I remember very well, even in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, I'll end with this one, mm-hmm. verse 5 on the second question, where Paul tells us, taking every thought captive to obedient to obey Christ.
Mm.
Every thought. We should do submit it in obedience of what? Christ. What Paul is telling us is that each and every person must be able to submit his thoughts to Christ. In short, he's saying, think Christ-like.
Mm.
And if you are to think Christ-like, what Paul is saying is encouraging us to have a mindfulness and a mental awareness about Christ. So these are some of the few biblical passages that I thought I would share with you that someone can use in trying to apply Christian mindfulness.
I like that there's so much, you have to be intentional about it. All the examples that you've given there, we have to be intentional about being mindful and the meditation. It doesn't happen by accident.
No, it's not happening by accident. By someone, I think as we go, I will explain some of the things that can be helpful to us as Christians.
Okay, sure.
So,
now, why is it important, Pastor, for Christians to focus on God during moments of mindfulness?
Okay. When we are talking about mindfulness, we are talking of, in a Christian context, we are talking of focusing on God. Okay, let me begin by saying focusing on God during moments of mindfulness is essential for a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
How does it become essential? Because of the following reason that I want to provide. One, it deepens the relationship with God. When the individual focus during the mindfulness hours, it makes him have a deeper relationship with Christ. Now, when we talk of the deeper relationship with Christ or with God, we are trying to have intimacy with God. So mindfulness helps a Christian develop a deeper intimacy with God, fostering a sense of closeness and connection.
Mm-hmm.
So why do we want to have that separate hour where we can only focus on God? Why have you gone to focus to have that mindfulness time? Because I'm coming from talking about Christ going to a solitary place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You want to have that closeness. You want to connect with the divine beings. So it deepens, number one, the relationship with God. Number two, it helps you create communication.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is where you can, it focuses, or you focus on God during mindfulness to encourage you open communication, allowing Christians to listen to God's voice and respond in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You see, most when we are doing our daily, in our daily endeavors, we are so busy, we can't even listen to what God is saying to our lives. But when we spare time, when we want to just have that time just to focus on God, it will make us to have that communication that can make us listen what God is saying and can respond that through prayer.
Amen.
The
Amen.
Other point that I want to get, madam, is see, it is important for a Christian to focus on God during time of mindfulness because it cultivates spiritual growth. When we talk of spiritual growth, we are talking about where a Christian we will develop what we call spiritual discernment.
Mm.
Okay? Spiritual discernment will help you discern God's will. So there are many times when you are just praying, but you can't even tell the what is God's will. Okay? And when you know God's will, it will make you have the easy life to navigate life's challenges and make decisions that align with your faith as a Christian. So you need to, a good Christian must have discernment. Now, discernment doesn't just come just abruptly. No, it takes time for you to have that spiritual discernment. It calls for cultivation of your spiritual life. And how do you cultivate it? Through focusing on God during the time of Christian mindfulness. On the other hand, when you focus on God during the time of Christian mindfulness, it will bring transformation. Now, transformation, we are saying, you are focusing on God during that time, which can help you or lead you to spiritual transformation. So as a Christian, when you are transformed, it means you are going to surrender your thoughts. You will surrender your emotions. You will surrender your action to the guidance of God. What makes most of us not surrender our thoughts, not surrender our emotions, not surrender our actions, is because we don't take that time. And sometimes when we go to church, we don't even focus on what is happening. And because of that, you find that someone is in church, even when they're not going to a solitary place, but they are focusing on other things. They haven't surrendered their actions. Actually, you agree with me, madam, that there is a saying that they call the devil's workshop, something like that, where they say
the devil's workshop.
What that proverb says is, when you are doing something, you must concentrate on what you are doing, because we are in the fight. And if you cannot focus on God, automatically you focus on the devil. Okay, so on the same hand, when you focus during that time, it provides peace and comfort to a Christian. This is where you are going to deal with issues like anxiety and stress relief. Okay, you feel relieved when you focus during that time. And you will be helped to alleviate anxiety, replacing them with the peace and the comfort that you are receiving from God during that time. On the other hand, it will help you have hope and encouragement. Focusing on God during mindfulness, it offers hope and encouragement, in which way it reminds Christians of God's presence, love, and faithfulness. When you focus, you begin to feel like God is with me. I want you to remember that passage that is found in, it should be Genesis chapter 28, where Jacob is sleeping in Beersheba, and God takes him in a vision. He's seeing angels ascending and descending. But when he was in the vision, he couldn't know what really was happening. But when he woke up, he was able to tell that truly God's presence was where. You can tell that same space or same hour when God was trying to communicate to him about his greatness and what he does, he focused during that time. This is the reason why people, when they go for worship or they go for separate prayer, they are supposed to focus so that they feel the God's presence there. I think you will bear with me. You will be a witness for me when I say there are times when you have prayed, madam, and you don't even feel like you were with God.
It's true. It's very true.
Okay. And in this lesson, what we are learning is it's because you didn't focus on what you are doing. You didn't surrender your thoughts. You didn't surrender your emotions. And when you didn't surrender all these things, you'll be in the light place, but your mind is in the wrong position. We have a lesson that we can learn here, point number four, is that it enhances worship and prayer. When we talk of enhancement of worship and prayer, we are talking about authentic worship. You see, people can worship, but their worship is not authentic. Okay, you can go for prayers, but your prayers were not authentic.
Yeah.
In short, we are talking about seriousness.
Yeah.
This is where you focus on God's character, expressing the gratitude and the adoration. So the only person who can do this is the person who focuses during that time or during that hour. But if you are thinking of, no, you didn't leave any meme at home and you are at the place of worship, you can't even give gratitude to God, because God will be seen in your eyes or in your mind as if he's a failure. No wonder you don't have meme home. So Christians must learn that we need to focus on God, because by so doing, we will receive comfort. God will also speak. Remember the previous point I was talking about communication. When you focus, God now can communicate to you about what you are doing. I think this is what Jesus said when you read the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where he says, seek first the kingdom of God. Okay, he began by explaining things that does what? Turns our attention.
Yes.
From the heavenly things. Okay, he explains and he tells us in verse 32, it's only the pagans that focus on this. But you need first to seek the kingdom of what? God. So he's trying to tell us that as a Christian, in Christian mindfulness, you should focus first on spiritual things. This is where you adore God, you give gratitude for what he has done, expressing God's character as if it is just happening in your life, even before it happens.
Beautiful.
Over this same point, another point that we can add here is effective prayer. When I say it enhances worship and prayer, you have effective prayer when you focus. On God during that time, and which will lead you to more effective prayer as a Christian. You also learn to listen to God's voice and pray in alignment with his will. There are prayers that people play. I think last week I was in a home visitation. Okay, where I was trying to consult with the people. Are you doing devotions at home? Some would tell, we just pray and sleep. Then I told them, you are eating Shima without relish. Because I'm wondering, what type of prayer do you pray now when you want to sleep? Without reading the scripture, so that you are actualized, so that you are told what to pray for, so that you can claim the blessing. So I had to emphasize to say that's the reason why Christians, you don't succeed. Because you don't have what to pray for. So the whole year, you don't have an effective prayer life. You can only have effective prayer life when you go to the scripture, listen to what God is saying there. Then you play in alignment with his way. Point number five that I can mention is focusing during that time fosters humility and surrender.
Amen.
When we talk of humility, God encourages humility. So when God encourages humility, no wonder the book of Philippians chapter 2 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus.
Yes.
Being equal with God, but he didn't see it as a what? If you remember what the scripture says.
Yes.
It was not for him to be equal with God, but he had to humble himself. So he surrendered. That is humility. So during that time, you need to have humility.
Yes.
And someone who has humility is someone who surrenders.
Absolutely.
You can't surrender without having humility.
Right.
These two things are twin brothers or twin sisters.
Yeah.
That's what we see in the hymn book in our church number 25.
Yes, my pastor.
Where people surrender all. But normally they don't surrender or they surrender some.
We surrender a little bit. My pastor, unfortunately, I'm sorry to just cut you off right there. We have to wrap it up at this point because we're running late for our next segment, but we will continue this conversation tomorrow. I still have a few more questions that I wanted us to address in this segment, but we will push them to tomorrow, same time and same place. But for today, thank you so much for coming through.
You are welcome.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.